Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and our next guest is Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, and his new book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, is available now. Congratulations and welcome back.
Thanks so much, and it's always great to be here.
You also do a podcast with your wife, Julie.
Yeah.
You do another podcast with Heidi Stevens from the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, I can't shut up.
Apparently not, John.
And wow. Heidi posted something about the new book, and I have to share this because I actually quoted it this morning. This is an excerpt from Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Remember, we are not here to guide kids towards our own images, nor are we here to push them toward convention. We are here, rather, to guide them, to listen through the fog of all those stimuli to their own inner voices. We are open to any and all definitions of success. That's mighty parenting. And that just hit home to me because not everybody moves forward on the same plan.
It's so true. And most of us, we hold a fairly narrow definition of what it means to be successful, right? You know, like you go and you follow this path and that path and things are going to work out a certain way. But most of our kids, they're what's interesting about them, what's amazing about them, doesn't fit in that narrow definition. So we find ourselves not celebrating what's amazing about our kids and really pressing them in the things that aren't particularly striking about them. You know, and it's important to work hard in school and get good grades and things, but some kids are really good artists or rappers or guitarists or athletes, and it's important to recognize that if we broaden the definition of success, our kids will be successful. If we make it really narrow, they're going to be stressed, mm-hmm. by and large.
But mm-hmm. we have to be retaught how to parent, and that's where this book comes in handy, because we only know what our parents did to us. And
yes.
It's like, what do you mean you got a C on that test?
Yes.
You know, it's all about the grades. You have to go to school. But there are other things out there, as you pointed out.
And you're right, Wendy. I like the way you put that. We need to be retaught how to parent. I don't hold parents' feet to the fire on this, but there's a lot we don't know about the lives of our kids today. A whole lot, right? You know, there's stressors our kids are under that we weren't under. So I usually start, when I talk to parents, I tell them, you weren't a teenager like your kid is a teenager. You don't know what this is like. So you have to learn from them, and you have to ask a lot of questions. Whereas your parents, they didn't care necessarily what it was like. You were going to live by their rules. Now, in a lot of ways, our kids hold the keys, and they know a lot more about what's going on in their world, especially the stressful parts, than we do. And the more we learn from them, the more we listen to them, the better off we're collaborating together.
John, do you ever go back and look at child psychology books that were written 25, 30, 40 years ago and just go, wow, I can't believe people thought this was the way to do it back then. It's not that long ago.
I absolutely do. I make it a habit of whenever I'm in a bookstore, an older bookstore, I like to read old books on psychology, especially
yeah.
parenting, to see what techniques used to work.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because the playbook of a generation ago is almost something you have to throw out completely, because the connection with your kid is so much more important now than mm-hmm. it used to be. Mm-hmm. Our parents had a wider berth than we did.
They,
you know,
did, right?
There was less ability to get into trouble that was dangerous or lethal or, you know, really going to impact your self-worth or self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Now things have tightened up so much because kids have so much awareness of so much data and themselves, their awareness of themselves, of their own potential for mental illness, things like that, that we didn't even think
right.
about when we were kids.
All right, let's apply this to a story that's going on right now, and that's this actor, this comedian that was hired by Saturday Night Live and then fired 4 days later
yeah.
because of things he said on podcasts.
Yeah.
How would parents like take a story like that and convey to their kids the importance of watching what you say and do, because it could cost you a career?
All right, so that's a great question, because that's a difference between a generation ago and now.
Yeah.
Generation ago, you sit your kid down and you lecture. See what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want that to happen to you, so make sure you think about what you say before you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing to do as a parent is to draw it out of your kid. because kids are really smart and savvy now, and they'll know that story. You know, an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old will know, oh yeah, some guy got fired from Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. So if you just ask him, so what do you think of this, right? This is a big moment in this guy's life, but he said these things. What do you think? Did Saturday Night Live do the right thing by firing him? And kids are really thoughtful in their answers about this mm-hmm. stuff. And so that's the shift in parenting, is really away from like talking a lot and listening more. And that makes sense. A lot.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question. Yeah. When we were growing up, we didn't have that many stressors. We didn't have social media to deal with. Things are more difficult for a kid nowadays. What happens to the kids of the future? Are we going to get used to all these new stressors, or is it just going to get worse? No way to predict that, but I just want to know your opinion on this.
And I think that we can kind of predict it just by, if you look at the trends, like look at social media, for example, right? Every couple of years, there's a new iteration. And, you know, if you look at the difference between Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Visco, they each get a
Visco?
Little...
Visco. I don't even know what that is.
So that's the newest.
Cooking oil.
Yeah.
That's Crisco.
Crisco, right.
That's do you know what Visco is?
Nope.
Jasmine, do you know?
I kind of know, but I don't want to be... No, I'm not going to say I know.
So you don't.
Right.
So look at all three of us right. Here.
So if you think you're taking social media away from your kid, for example, there are a bunch of regional social media accounts that kids can have. And it's really, really difficult to say, you know, I'm going to punish my kid by taking anything online away, because your kid's going to find access to it. And mm-hmm. Visco is the newest thing.
John, I just got a CB radio, so go slow.
10-4, Bill.
Excuse me for interjecting here, but I wanted a CB radio so badly when I was younger, and my mom wouldn't let me get one because she said, you're just going to be talking to truckers all night and you'll get in trouble.
And
she was right.
Right.
But that's so weird. I wanted to communicate with people even when I was younger, but mom did know best at that point.
Well, we're all dating ourselves. I had a CB radio
in
my house when I was a kid.
What was your handle?
Oh, I wish I could remember my handle. The kid across the street who was 14 was Whiskey Runner.
Wow. Very ambitious.
I think he was making it up a little bit.
But I could have gotten into trouble with that for sure. And this is easier to get in trouble with
way
Visco.
Easier.
I don't even... What is that?
So Visco is just another kind of like a picture-based, like okay. Instagram, social media account. But there are elements of it that disappear, and there's fewer reliance on likes and things like that. So it might be a little better for self-esteem. But if I had to argue about whether this is going to get better or get worse in terms of self-esteem and pressure, I think it's going to escalate. I think it's going to get worse. So I think we need a framework to talk to our kids about this stuff.
Right.
And that's part of the reason I wrote this book, and that's part of the reason I'm talking about it, is if we don't pick a different lane to address our kids,
yeah,
then they're out there in this wasteland alone trying to figure this stuff out. And it's really, really hard to be out there alone. Right.
Yeah. And John, just to get the point across one more time, if Wendy had said something to a trucker on a CB radio, it would have happened in the second and then vanished forever.
Exactly.
And now through all those sources you just said, it's forever.
Everything out there is permanent and public. No doubt.
Great.
I wouldn't have been here if I had a CB.
Nope.
I would have been meeting some trucker at Stuckey's.
No. All right, we'll take a break and then more with Dr. John Duffy. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And a friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy, is here. His new book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, is available now. Get it wherever your favorite books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Indie Bound. And John will be at Lyons Township High School tomorrow night. The Parent Community Network and the Parent Teacher Council will be hosting you tomorrow night. It's free to the public, 7 p.m. in the North Campus Reber Center. And we all need a little help with parenting, John. You had posted something on your Facebook page, an article from Family Circle about the dark web, which Bill and I don't know much about. We're on the light web. We're just...
We applied to get on the dark web. We've not heard back.
Rejected application,
Very sad. Yep.
And I just know that, you know, Googling things here at work, sometimes things pop up, and I mean they pop up where I'm shocked that I have access to that. Some kids can't unsee that, and it's tough for them. Something you mentioned, and you can build on this, punishment, is that the answer? No, we're trying to teach them how to navigate these things in life.
Your kids are going to have have access to this stuff. I don't know the 14-year-old who doesn't have access to the dark web. And to your point, even the regular, you know, accessible web that we can Google, kids are going to stumble upon things that their minds are not prepared to take in. And so we need to teach them to think strategically and be discerning and be thoughtful instead of telling them, you can't do this. You know what I mean? Because kids usually aren't online looking for trouble. They usually stumble upon it somehow. So I think the more we talk to our kids about, like, here's how you use the internet safely. You know, the internet's not going away. The dark web isn't going away. It has millions of visitors every day. And some statistic says there's 5 million visitors under 20 every single day in the dark web. And this is kind of a wasteland for kids where, you know, you can buy vapes and jewels and tanks and weed and Xanax and all sorts of awful things. And pornography is kind of all over the place and hate speech in the dark web. And so you want to have some discussion with your kid about it, because in all likelihood, your kid has access to all of this stuff and is probably looking at it.
So if you take their computer away or their iPhone or their iPad, wasn't there a story in here that a kid did it at school?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. So I worked with a kid who just used his school computer, and he eventually got caught. But a lot of kids know their way around every firewall, and most of us have an iPhone 2 or 4 sitting in a kitchen drawer somewhere, and a kid knows how to activate that and tap into the neighbor's Wi-Fi. Any parent who thinks, hear this loud and clear, that you're taking the internet away from your child, you are kidding yourself. That is not happening.
John, kids have this incredible curiosity about everything, good and bad.
Right.
And when you think about it, for us, a generation ago, if a kid had a Playboy magazine, you were going to look at it.
Sure.
So now what's going on the internet is a Playboy magazine times a billion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And part of the fun of sneaking it up to your clubhouse, Bill, has been taken away.
Yes. Right. Are you talking about today or when I was a kid?
You're talking
either one. They're both applicable.
But to your point, right, you know, like in order to get to the Playboy magazine when we were kids, you have to, there's firewalls, right? There's a guy behind the counter, and it's behind the guy
who
behind
knows
the counter
that you're not an adult.
Exactly.
You're a guy standing on another guy's shoulders with a coat, so you can't tell that you're not an adult.
Exactly. Right. And now, sitting on your bed, you know, on your computer or your iPad or your iPhone, you can find something far, far more intense and severe than Playboy magazine. And so we need to be open as parents to talking to our kids about what they're looking at out there. And we've got to get past the point where we're angry with them, or where we're shocked. We're just like, you know, gobsmacked by everything that they utter.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I wrote that book, is to get parents informed about what's going on in their kids' lives.
Right.
So that their kids aren't burdened with having to tell them every single little thing about what's going on. And the jaws aren't dropping constantly.
Right, sure.
Here's a text that I think you should address. Discussion with your kid. Just don't pay the bill, like the internet bill. But again, you mentioned that. They're just going to borrow their friend's phone.
Right.
They're going to do it at school.
Right. The best you can do in that case, I get what the texter is saying, is make it slightly more inconvenient to gain access to the web. But, you know, in school, your kid's best friend has a phone with internet access. You know what I mean? Your child will find his or her way online on any given day of their life. That's just a fact.
So what do you say to your kid, and at what age, where you say, look, when you're online, something's going to show up. You're going to Google something, and something's going to show up, and it's going to be something you might not be ready for. How do you convey to them of what to do next?
Right. The first thing you do is you say exactly what you just said, Bill. You are going to be online, and you are going to find something you're not ready for.
Yeah.
And what you want to do as a parent, because your kids are going to be curious, and they're probably, if we're being honest, they're probably going to look at the thing, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not many of us would have had restraint as teenagers and said, oh, this looks like it might be heading into an area that I shouldn't go into.
Yeah.
We're sitting alone in our rooms. We're probably heading into that area, right? So we need to make ourselves open and available for them to talk about it. You know what I mean? So what have you run into so far? the hard part for parents is to take the judgment out of it. And, you know, sure. and say, you know, like, well, you weren't supposed to look at that stuff. Not that there's no place for that, but in the initial conversation where you're letting your kid talk about what they've seen, mm-hmm. maybe what they're alarmed by, mm-hmm. you need to let that line run out a little bit. You need to let them talk about it pretty freely and openly. Then you can say, listen, it's really important that you avoid some of this stuff because it's dangerous. And, you know, and I don't want you to have to see something that you're not ready to see. You
that's
know,
the perfect
that's completely
way.
Okay to say that.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. We have been trained to judge. How do we take the judgment out of it? What is the best practice to learn not to be judgmental and to let your kids talk?
So it's a great question because we have been trained to judge and our kids do not respond to our judgment. And we don't want to be judgmental, I think, as parents. When I think about what the flip side is, what the opposite is of judgment, I usually lean toward curiosity. So instead of judgment usually means you're saying something. You're telling your kid, you know, well, I don't approve of that. I don't want you looking at that. And you're grounded. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a spot for that. But first you want to say, you know, tell me what you've seen. Tell me what you think of it. You know what I mean? Like we were talking off the air about the comedian who was fired from Saturday Night Live. Ask your kid what they think of what's going on in the world now because they know. And they sometimes have really interesting solutions to what's going on in
right,
the world.
Sure.
So foster that. Be curious about what your kid thinks about what they're seeing out there. And then if you want to levy a consequence, I'm not going to take that away from you.
Right.
But really you want to make it clear that you are the person they can come to. You're their collaborator
yeah.
and their ally in what they're looking at online.
Although you have to admit, sometimes it's hard for kids to discuss those things with their parents.
Right, for
you
sure.
Know? It's for nice, sure. but it can be very difficult.
Yeah, I think as a parent, you have to be a little meta about this
yeah,
and
right.
really point out like, hey, we're about to have a little bit of an awkward, uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
It won't last forever, but we have to have it.
Yeah, yeah.
And how early do you have this conversation, says 847?
It's a great question, 847.
age-wise.
Although the timing, the 8 a.m. is fine.
Do it early in the morning.
I think we want to be able to say, oh, 12, 13, 14 years old. But the truth of the matter is our 8-year-olds, our 9-year-olds are exposed to a lot of this thing, these things. So you want to introduce these talks early. You don't have to get down to the nitty gritty, but you have to introduce this stuff at really early ages, uncomfortably early ages.
John, you should write a book.
I should.
You definitely should write a book.
I'm gonna make a note.
What would you call the book if you ever wrote it?
I would probably call it Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety off the top of my head.
That could work.
That is available now, finally. And John is making a lot of appearances, including at LT High School, Lyons Township High School, tomorrow night. If people want to find out how to get your book, what your book's about, and where you're appearing, what's the best place to send them to?
DrJohnDuffy.com is my website, kind of a clearinghouse for all of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John. A break and then some news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.